In the Warren County Radio Bible School, we are studying about David's sin with Bathsheba, how he saw her while she was bathing. He had her brought to him. He lay with her. She came with child. He tried to get Uriah to lay with her. That was her husband, to make him think it was his child instead of David's. But that did not work. Uriah would not do it, and he returned to the army, and David had him killed. He sent Joab orders to put him in the thick of the fight, and there Uriah would be killed, and then he would take Bathsheba to be his wife, and he thought he really got away with something. But he didn't. God knew. And God wasn't going to allow this sin to pass. You know, sometimes people think, well, I'll just hide my sin and no one will know. And you might be able to hide sin from other men. You might be able to even forget about it yourself. But there's a judgment day, and God knows. And so it's best to deal with the sin in the right way. We're going to read about how David hid his sin in 2 Samuel 11, 22 through 27, and then turn to Elam's notes on that, and I'll be discussing that in a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Let me read to you 2 Samuel chapter 11, verses 22 through 26. And see what a foolish thing David did in thinking he could hide his sin. He'd sent the messengers out, and Uriah had been killed. And the messengers returned to tell David, and it says, so the messengers went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent for him. And the messengers said unto David, the men prevailed against us, and came out unto us into the field. And we were upon them, even unto the entrance of the gate. And the shooters shot at thy servants from off the wall, and some of the king's servants are dead. And thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Then David said to the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee, for the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city, and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she made lamentation for her husband. And when the morning was past, David sent and took her home to his house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased Jehovah. We're going to look at Elam's notes. These are notes that he wrote for a Sunday school lesson on this, for the Sunday schools of August the 28th, 1927. And Elam says that, informed of Bathsheba's condition, David conceived the plan to conceal his sin. He sent for Uriah and desired him to spend some time at home. Had he done so, who would ever have known but that the child was his? In his nobleness and loyalty of soul, he would not do this. David then made him drunk, and still he would not go home. Then David had him slain in battle, and was virtually, as the Lord says, his murderer. When the messengers from Joab reported to David the result of the battle, that his servant Uriah the Hittite was dead, David went through the pretense of consoling Joab over the loss of a brave soldier, saying that he should not be displeased and be discouraged, for the sword devoureth one as well as another, when he and Joab both knew it was a devised scheme to get Uriah killed. So David and Bathsheba marry. When Bathsheba heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she made lamentations for him. This was only a custom and an empty performance. She cared nothing for Uriah. And when the morning was past, David sent and took her home to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. David married Bathsheba as soon as possible after the death of her husband, in order to make it appear that the child was legitimate. One sin certainly leads to another, and, as in David's case, some sin leads to lies and murder. The sins of the flesh, like adultery and fornication, often lead to lies and murder. It became almost a proverb for a while that everyone lies about sex, but that doesn't make it honorable, and God knows that's the difference. We read at the very last of that verse that the thing was displeasing unto Jehovah, so you can't fool God on these things. Now I'm going to read 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. Let me read really the last sentence in 2 Samuel 11, where it says the thing that David had done displeased Jehovah. And now 12, and Jehovah sent Nathan unto David, and he came to him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own morsel, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his own bosom, and it was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler to the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress it for the wayfaring man that was coming to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as Jehovah liveth, the man that hath done this is worthy to die. And he shall therefore restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. Let's look at Elam's notes. After all David's scheming, his sin found him out. The thing that David did had displeased Jehovah. He sent Nathan to David to reprove him. How was it done? Read those verses. David could see the sin of the rich man who slew the poor man's little ewe lamb. Today, some men seem not to feel their sins of lying and stealing and trickery and impurity and slander and mistreatment of others. Yet they pick at the mote in a brother's eye and become enraged over some mistake or fault of others. It would help all to see themselves as God sees them. Now we read verses 7 through 12 of 2 Samuel 12. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith Jehovah, the God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of thy hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom. I gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have added unto thee and such things. Whereof hast thou displeased the word of Jehovah to do that which is evil in his sight? Thou hast smitten Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife. and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me in taking the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith Jehovah, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. All teachers today should have the courage to truly and kindly say, thou art the man. Nathan pressed this terrible conclusion home to David's heart. Wherefore hast thou despised the word of Jehovah to do that which is evil in his sight? Thou hast smitten Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith Jehovah, I'll raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and take thy wives before thine eyes. Thou didst this secretly, but I'll do this before all Israel and before the sun. What does it mean when it says he despised the word of the Lord? Nathan said David despised the word of God and despised God. To do that which is evil in God's sight is to despise the word of God. God teaches all now through his word that which is true, pure, and good, and right. And not to do that is to despise his word. Saul rejected God and rebelled against him in rejecting the word of God, 1 Samuel 15:22 through 26. Not to repent of sin is to despise the riches of God's goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. People will not own that they despise God, but when they turn from his word and do evil, they demonstrate that they do, Romans 2 and verse 4. Not to obey God is to despise him, as it is to obey him is to love him. John 14:23-24. Well, David repented. Thus David was brought to repentance. We must not conclude that David's sins gave him no trouble before Nathan reproved him. From Psalm 32 and verse 3, we learn that his conscience smote him. When I kept silence, my bones wasted away through all my groaning all the day long. From Psalm 51 and verse 3, we also learn that his conscience smote him. My sin is ever before me. While Nathan reproved David, this reproof helped bring him to repentance. David was not simply sorry his sins were known, as yet only God and Nathan knew of them. He was also sorry that he committed these sins. Nothing short of that is repentance. It was God's law that the man and the woman thus guilty should die, Leviticus 20 and verse 10. But God, on account of David's repentance, forgave him. These sins David had committed against God because he had broken God's law. Adultery and murder are now sins against God. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against Jehovah. And Nathan said unto David, Jehovah hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of Jehovah to blaspheme, the child also that is born to thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed and went to his house. We're going to read the last of this Sunday school lesson about the consequences of sin when we return in our next class. Truly, the things written aforetime are written for our learning, And if we'll be wise, we can learn from David's mistakes.